18, verse 21. And I won't be real long. But I said that one place and I preached 2 hours. But I don't feel a 2 hour sermon. Sister Ella May gave me that look as if to say, we want a short sermon and a quick trip home. She didn't say that, but that's what I'm going to tell everybody, she said. I won't lie. My wife told me the other night, and she said, you know, you won't lie, but you should get so close to it. I got so tickled at her the other day, Cabo. I said, she's trying to figure up something. Of course, those of you that know me knew that I was on up in age before I even learned how to read or even subtract. And she's trying to figure out something. She said, how many times is this time? And I couldn't put it on paper, but in my mind, I just started spitting it out. I said, you know, there was a time I couldn't do that. No, she said, there was a time you couldn't do that. I said, I know it. She said, but see, your head has really gotten bigger over the years. And you can put more in there. But I got a big kick out of it because it is true. I went to get me a hat. I love my fedora Godfather hats, and you make fun of my hat, I'll make fun of you. And one guy told me I was fat, and I said, I can lose weight, but you're ugly. You know, there's no hope in it. But I was trying on a hat in a hat store one time, and this lady was trying to be helpful, and she realized what she said, and then she got embarrassed. She said, you know, you need a big brim hat because your head is so big. And she emphasized, and she said, well, what I mean is, I said, come on, lady, you meant what you said, and you told the truth. I got a big head. But anyway, oh, the Lord is good to us. Well, let's read a little bit. And I'm just going to talk about a few things. I won't be real long. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Jesus, help us tonight. I'm asking you that your fresh anointing would move through this place tonight. Lord, your word is rich. Your mercy is rich. God, who is rich in mercy. The great love wherewith he loved us. Thank you for loving me, Lord. Thank you for caring about me. And God, I'm asking you to anoint every heart and every ear. Somebody said in Jesus' name, God bless you. Let's just talk about this. If you need a title, I'm just going to talk about the power of words. Words are powerful. I'm here to tell you, words are very powerful. You can take words and you can build somebody up. You can take words, you can tear them down. You can take words, you can build yourself up, or you can tear yourself down. It's so important that we realize that what we say is going to affect us, and how we respond to circumstances and situations. Little Thomas got in from school that particular day. As he walked into the house, his mother greeted him with a kiss. And he said, I have a letter for you. She opened the letter, began to read it, and her eyes filled with tears. And she looked at little Thomas and she said, your son is a genius. We do not have the facility nor the teachers capable of teaching him. We're asking you, if you will, teach him at home, because he will not fit with the other kids. 23 years have passed. Thomas's mother has died. And Thomas one day was going through some old papers of his mother, and he saw a letter there that his mother had read, and he wanted to read it himself again. But this time it was not what his mother had said. Here's what the letter said. Your son is mentally ill. We can no longer allow him to be with the other children. His continuous chatter, his disruptive nature, is causing the other kids not to be able to comprehend or to learn. We're asking you, since we have expelled him, if you want him to learn, teach him yourself. She sat there and began to weep. Or rather, he sat there and began to weep, and then he picked up pen and paper, and he wrote this. Thomas Alva Edison was a mentally mentally ill child. But because of a heroic mom, she turned him into the genius of the century. Words are so powerful. Mom could have took that and said, "You got to understand, son, you've gone as far as you'll ever go." But there was something in the mind of that mother says, "I can see something different than nobody else can see." She taught him to read, and he loved to read. One of his problems was he was a very inquisitive child. He would never stop learning. He always liked to learn. What would the story have been if Mrs. Edison had said, "You're not going to be anything"? I'm here to tell somebody, or all of us tonight, that it's so important that we're very careful what we take in and what we put out. It's easy for us to take words and destroy one another. Paul said, "Be careful lest you bite and devour one another." And it's so easy for us to be discouraging to people. They tell us that when you look at someone, you're not supposed to tell them they're tired. Well, I don't understand that, because if I'm tired, somebody tells me I'm tired, I'm just tired. But there are some people, if you tell them you're tired, they really get down and get really bad. I remember we had a lady in our church here several years ago, and I don't want to call her name, but she was a sweet lady. She loved God. And Brother Alton, you'll immediately know who I'm talking about. I would look at her and I'd say, "You don't look like you feel good." I was just a kid. I shouldn't have done it. But I said, "You don't look like you don't feel good tonight." And she'd start digging through her purse, and she had anything she could take. And I feel bad now, because, you know, as you get older, you begin to realize some things. When I was younger, I did not understand why people couldn't run 3 and walk 8 every day and bench press 100 pounds 100 times without stopping every other day. I thought people were just lazy. Well, you just got to go through a little bit of life and you realize that people are not lazy, they're getting old. I'm going to get me a t-shirt. I don't know who, if anybody knows who to get do it, I want you to tell me who, because I'm going to have on there, "Growing old ain't for sissies, pokey puppies need not apply." I'm here to tell you that growing old ain't for sissies. And every one of us are going to get there. And I told Uncle Charles, come to the house one day. And you know, he is a wonderful guy. But he gets a little touchy when I talk to him about his age. He was sitting there in the house, and that's back when I was so sick. And Vicky said, the doctor said that he's really bad. He wants him in the hospital. He won't go. And they said he's a walking dead man. And I'm sitting there, and I could barely breathe. And as sick as I was, I couldn't help it. My wife told me last night, she said, "I believe when you die, when they walk by, your mouth is going to be doing like this." And baby, so, but I looked up at Uncle Charles. You remember that, Uncle Charles? I was so sick. I said, "Uncle Charles, you're looking good to be 90. He said, "But I'm not the one nearly dead. Come on. I'm not the one that they said is dying." I said, "You know, come to think about it, Uncle Charles, you're probably right." But I'm here to tell you that the devil has got a way of taking things we say and how we act or react to situations. Often when I pray, I ask the Lord, help me to act, react, and respond the way you do. We see the bumper stickers. We see people wearing it around their neck, and they'll say, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I'm thinking, baby, I don't think he'd be doing that. I don't think that'd be going on. I'm going to tell you tonight that it's very important for us to realize that when God filled us with the Holy Ghost, he didn't make junk. Come on, God filled you with his Spirit. He filled you with the power of from on high. The same power that parted the Red Sea, it's in you tonight. The same power that said, "Lazarus, come forth," it's in you tonight. Come on, somebody hear me. But the devil will put words in your mind and tell you you're not much. I'm here to tell you, you're right, devil, but I can become somebody special when Jesus said you're going to be able to go above and beyond what the world said you can. Come on, let's praise him a little bit, would you? Praise God. Praise God. I'm amazed when I watch people who get a kick out of just putting people down. I'm amazed at that. I don't like it. I don't like to see people tell jokes at somebody else's expense. That's the reason why I don't tell fat jokes. I'm fat and I'll hit you with the mic. I'm telling you, I'm working hard at it, Cabo, to get my weight off. But I'm learning you got to eat like a rabbit, work like a dog to keep it looking like a horse. I'm telling you, I walked an hour and a half yesterday, my heart rate 180 and above for an hour and a half, and I go home and get on the scales, and it said 297. I bust upside the head. Come on, and then I weighed today, and it said 291. I said, now we're on the road. Come on, my mind made up, though. I'm not going to get anywhere by sitting back and talking about how fat I am. I'm not going to get anywhere by talking about how bad it is. But where I'm going to get it is when I cut back on the chips and the dips and the candy and I start, you know, reducing and enlarge the muscle tone. But there's something about this mind. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. But the devil knows how to play tricks on you. And isn't it amazing? Nobody knows how to tick you off like your wife. Or your husband, or your children. I got tickled. Alex called me today, and we got him all Western. He wanted to be Western. And so he got a black hat, black boots, black belt, black breeches. He put it all on, put the hat on, looked in the mirror. He said, hello, ladies. He said, he's at Walmart yesterday. He said, Popeye's at Walmart yesterday, and these two girls were following me. He said, I didn't like it. I just kept it. You know, he does all that talking, but he don't want nobody bothering him. And so his dad said, what's going on? He said, well, I'm trying to get away from these two children. There was two young teenage girls following him. One of them, you know, girls are bold today. Women are bold today. Back when we was kids, girls didn't ask a boy for his phone number. Maybe y'all did. We didn't. We girls didn't stand on the street corner waiting on the boys. The boy, I went to the house and knocked on the door. I wanted to walk her to the door. She said, that's not necessary. I said, this is the way we do it. I didn't know doodly squat about what I was doing. I just thought I knew what I was doing. I got tickled at her, and she was talking about somebody, and she said, did you see? He said that boy was 17, and he was hugged up to that girl. I said, really? How old was I when we was dating? She said, 17. How soon you forget. And so, you know, and you look at all these circumstances, these situations, and the problems that are out there, and the devil knows what to do. But Thomas Edison's mother, she's the genius. She might not have the education, but she had the know-how. She instilled it in that boy's heart to read. He liked to learn. He wanted to learn. And she put it in his heart to read, and he read everything he could get his hand on. And it is a fact. He went down as a greatest genius in that century. I'm here to tell you that there's some people here in this congregation tonight that you have a spiritual genius about you. If you can tap into it somewhere, if you can get a hold of the mind of God and see what God can see and not what you see, not what I see. Open up our eyes, Lord, that we can see the hand of God as you begin to move up and down the avenues of our soul. Come on, let's praise him a little bit. There's always going to be someone or something in your way. Count on it. There's always going to be someone or something going to try to stop you. But if you want to be real about it, nobody can stop you but you. I am my own worst enemy. If I want to do it, I'll do it. Somebody told my wife one time, she said, "Is he henpecked?" She said, "Yeah, right. You ought to live with him." Well, I am to a point. It's a little point. But, you know, I'm amazed that these men and women talk about, "I'm the boss." These men, "I'm the boss." But when that woman cussed that eye just right, they're no longer the boss. They just got demoted. And Alex, watch what he said about those two teenage girls. He said, "I think I discouraged them." Come on, we need to discourage the devil. The devil is trying to discourage us. You're supposed to be the discourager. You're not supposed to be the intimidated. You're supposed to be the intimidator. Come on, God has filled us with the Spirit of God. At God, son, it's time that the church of the living God wake up and realize who they are and what they are and what they got. It's not time for church as normal. It's not time for everything that status quo. It's time to get a hold of the horns of the altar. And as Joshua, the son of Nun, departed not from the tabernacle, his mind was made up. You look at the 12 spies. You don't hear much about the other 10 except this. The Lord destroyed them with a plague. Why? Because all they said was, "We cannot do it." Words are very powerful. But Joshua and Caleb said, "We are more than able to conquer the land. Let us go up at once." I'm here to tell you, those 10 spies caused the heart of the people of Israel to faint. I will not be somebody that'll cause somebody's heart to faint. I'm going to look up and I'm going to be the best I can to say, "I don't know how God's going to do it, but God's going to do it." I said, "God's going to do it." Proverbs 23:7, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." If you think you're weak, you're weak. If you think you're a sissy, you're a sissy. But if you think yourself strong, see, we don't need weak-kneed, lily-livered Christians. We don't need sermonettes for Christianettes. We need men of God to rise to the occasion. We need people of God to get a hold of the things of God. It doesn't matter what the economy says. I don't know what Washington's going to do, but I know what God's going to do. He's going to have his way in this situation. It's time to get sold out to him. My Lord, it's the buzz. I get phone calls from people all over the place. And, "Man, I don't know what we're going to do." I said, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and go pray every morning like I do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about how good God is. I'm not trying to put a badge on my shoulder, but I'm telling you, I've made a habit of it lately. When I see somebody, I say, "The Lord woke me up." Come on, somebody, "The Lord woke me up." Hear me. Told someone today, he began to talk to me about everything. And I said, "Well, you know, there's a lie going around saying we're all God's children." I said, "We're not all God's children. You're his creation until you're born again. Then when you're born again, you become his child. Then heirs and joint heirs with him." Come on, thank God I'm a child of the King today. I've been born again. Nothing can stop you unless you want it to stop you. Brother Alton, you was in the Army when you was in boot camp. Did you ever tell a drill instructor, "I just don't think I can do that today"? Not today. Not ever. Because they put something in that brain that says, "I can do it." You know, there you say, "Brother Proctor, I'm feeling pain. I'm feeling pain. I've been through a bad divorce. I'm feeling pain. I've been through the loss of a loved one. I'm feeling pain. Can I submit to you tonight that only survivors feel the pain tonight? It's because you are a survivor. And don't let the devil tell you nothing else. If you feel pain, it means you're alive. Come on, somebody, you're alive. I was walking through the house one day, and man, I was hurting. I hurt. Since I've had those few little incidents, I'm not one of these pie in the sky. And everybody says, "How you doing?" Great. Got that half pound of tooth smile. You can see them grin clear back to the fifth molar. When I'm in pain, but I won't tell them I'm hurting today. I'm barely getting around. I tell him I'm doing good. Somebody said, "Are you hurting?" Yeah, but I'm doing good because I can feel it. And when you can feel it, you're a survivor. The graveyard is full of people that didn't survive. Her name is Mandy Harvey. She's not a household name at this point anyway. You probably won't get much out of her song. But Mandy Harvey, she knew what it was to know about pain and disappointments. And so she began to, she was in college, 18 years of age. She was sitting there beginning to take a test. She was waiting for the teacher to tell them it's time. She had a nerve problem in her ears. And she went totally deaf in class that day. Without any notice, she just went stone deaf. She sat there waiting for the teacher to say, "Start your test." She said, "I wondered, when are they going to tell us?" But after a while, I noticed the classroom begin to empty. And then it dawned on me, I don't hear the desk moving. I don't hear anybody talking. She said, then it dawned on me, I am totally deaf. She walked out to the car. She sat down and she said, "Dad, I cannot hear. I don't even remember what your voice sounds like anymore. I just lost my hearing." She said, "I had been singing since I was 4 years old." She said, I dropped the music. I dropped out of college. I went into massive depression. But then I did not want my life to end there. I said, there's got to be a way that I can still learn. And she learned, sister, that she could take her shoes off and stand on the floor, and through the vibration, she could pick up the tone of what was going on. And she wrote a song. It's not really a long song. It's just a few words. And it says, "I don't feel the way I used to. The sky is gray much more than blue. But I know one day I'll get through, and I'll take my place again. If I will try, if I will try. Oh, there is no one for me to blame. No cause, cause I know no one for me to blame, cause I know the only thing in my way is me. I don't live the way I want to. The whole picture never come into view. But I'm tired of getting used to the day, so I'll try. So I'll try." Am I talking to somebody today? Are you getting tired of feeling like you've been to feeling? Get up and try. I failed, but get up and do it again. I messed up, get up and do it again. I did wrong, get up and do it again. Jesus told Simon Peter, he said, "Sleep on now, take your rest. Rise and let us be going." What's he saying? "Simon, I needed you a while ago. You wasn't there, but let's get up and move on. Let the past lie. Don't let your emotions or the devil keep you locked up in yesteryear or yesterday. But the word of God is powerful, and use it to your advantage." Amazes me. Just try. Two monks were walking down a dusty road, and they come across, it had been raining a few days earlier, and they come across a little brook. And there was a young lady trying to get across, and she could not find a place. And one of the monks picked her up, and he carried her across and put her on dry ground. For the next 2 hours, another monk was talking to him, and he said, "You know, it's forbidden by the law. We're not allowed to touch a woman." I cannot believe. And after 2 hours, finally, he turned around and he said, I put her down 2 hours ago. Why are you still carrying her? Can I say to you tonight, beloved, if we're not careful the words we use, you made a mistake, but you keep on reliving it. It's time to lay it down. You keep on talking about it. It's time to quit talking about it. Words are powerful. I will overcome. I'm made an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Come on, somebody. Fall in love with the love of God. Oh, come on. Let's praise him. All of us have dreams. All of us have hopes. But let's face reality. Some dreams were never meant to be. It's just the way it is. That's why I'm so ticked off about this bullying stuff. They bullied my child. Did you know bullying is part of life? Some of y'all looking at me, have you already got so politically correct? Being bullied is just part of life. That's what makes you strong. I've had people to tell me I'm ugly all my life. Well, I knew better. I'm amazed at parents who tell their kids they're dumb. You know, kids are not born dumb. It takes a dummy to make a dummy. So if you want a child to be an idiot, just act like that. They'll be an idiot. But some dreams just never going to come to pass. You know, I never did become filthy rich, but I'm blessed. Come on, I got a house paid for. I got a 2 vehicles paid. You say, well, Brother Proctor, I wouldn't be caught dead. I remember that when it's 17 below zero chill factor and you're walking. I would give you a ride, bud. But you wouldn't be caught dead, so stay out there and frizz. Well, I just don't know. Come on, that's a problem. We don't know, but he does know. God, what did Solomon say? He said, give me not riches, lest I forget you and blaspheme your name. He said, don't give me poverty, lest I steal and bring reproach on your name. But give me food that is convenient for me. Help me to do the right thing. I can't say I'm a rich man in some people's standards, but I got news for you. I'm richer than the richest man in the world. I've got the power of God inside of me tonight. I'm blessed. I've got a good wife. That loves me. I know y'all can't believe that, but she does. I can't believe she does either. She looked at me the other day. She said, John, I believe you're more handsome today than you've ever been. I went and looked in the mirror. And you know, you got them bags in your eyes. You could have put an 8-ball in that bag that morning. I said, man, love is blind. You know, there was times, now I mentioned it several times, hoping y'all will remember me. My birthday's March 20th. No, I did. I'm just teasing. But I remember that I have mentioned it, but April the 29th, we'll be married 47 years. 47 years. That's longer than you are old. A couple of days, anyway. In 47 years, when Vicki and I first married, we used to ride around the loop in our courting days. It ain't none of your business. Just get your mind out of the gutter. We just drove slow, 5 miles an hour. I had to conserve gas. Had that old 57 Chevrolet station wagon, and you drive a little bit, sit to one, and the master cylinder would lock up. I'd get out and bleed the master cylinder and get back in it again. Man, we was courting. I don't know if the pastor said 6 feet apart, 6 inches apart, but you couldn't have put a toothpick between us. I guarantee you that. I'm just going to tell the truth. Some of you won't. Get your mind out of the gutter. Nothing went on. But, man, we would drive, that slow drive, and just talk about, you know, we're going to get married. And finally, one day, she asked me, she said, "You have never asked me to marry you. You just take it for granted that I'm going to marry you." I said, "You're mine." Got to put that ghetto on them. Yo. You know, in this modern age, you got to learn how to talk ghetto in some of these churches. "Hey, what's wrong with you, fool? Trying to save you. Get up to the altar. Repent. Get up here, fool." It works. That way it wouldn't work in Paris. Y'all too dignified. But some of the places I go, that's the only thing they understand. I know I've already lost some of you. You'll get back on or get or sit there and get tired one, but we would just cruise around. We just talk. And I said, "Will you marry me?" She said, "Of course not." "Yeah, I'll marry you." I said, "Well, I knew I still had it in me." I weighed 195 pounds. I mean, I was so thin my belly button was scratching my backbone. You remember the old Volkswagen buses we used to have here, Brother Alton? I would drive them buses. I didn't get out like a normal human. I had to reach down and pick my foot up and twist it so I could get out, because my foot was so big it got stuck between the gas pedal and the seat. But oh, what beautiful days it was. And I looked at her and I thought, you know, there's been times I could have walked off, and there's been times you could have walked off, but I'm so glad we didn't. Come on, church. There's been times you could have walked off and left him, but aren't you glad you didn't? Come on, somebody hear me. I'm glad I didn't. I'm tired of a gym just like it is. God, help me to find a new place in you. I saw your sweet little old wife. When I say it's sweet little Sue, that's what it is, little Sue. I saw her yesterday. The first thing out of her mouth was, "I can't come to church on Sunday nights much because of my job." You know what that told me? That was in her heart. "I want to be in the house of God." You remember when she got the Holy Ghost? I remember. I was preaching in the old sanctuary. And that Wednesday night. And Sister Susie, she'd been praying for weeks and weeks. And she come to church that night. And do you remember? She said, "I went home and I laid down to take a short nap." And she said, "I woke up and I was talking in tongues." Hallelujah. Come on. Unexplainable, but undeniable. Come on. And the devil will try to take that from you, but he cannot take it from you unless you let him. Amazes me. So words are powerful. 10 died of a plague because God was angry with them, because all they said was, "We can't do it." You know what a negative report is? When God says we're going to do it, you say it can't be done. That angers God. I don't know what's going to happen in Washington. I'm really not too worried about it, because God's got this thing under control. God knows what he's doing. Jesus never spoke negative. He never talked about it. Can you imagine the apostles going up and saying, "Jesus, there's a storm coming." He said, "Boys, I've used up all my energy. I just don't think we're going to make it this time, but it's been good knowing y'all. That ain't the God I live for." "Oh, pardon me. That isn't the Lord that I live for. Oh, it ain't the God I live for. He's the God that said, 'Peace be still.' When you got a storm in your life, he knows how to calm the storm. When you got trouble coming, he knows how to put you through it. And he knows how to bring you out of it. You say, "Well, I've been going through some trying times." Well, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Notice this. At, five, at, about, at around 5:30 p.m. in the evening of December the 10th, 1914. A massive explosion erupted in West Orange, New Jersey. 10 buildings and the legendary inventor's Thomas Edison's plant, which made up more than half of the site, were engulfed in flames. Between 6 and 8 fire departments rushed to the scene, but the chemical fuel in the inferno was too powerful to be put out quickly. According to the 1961 Reader's Digest article by Edwin's son, Charles Edison, his son, Charles Edison, wrote the Reader's Digest. His father looked at him and calmly, he walked over calmly to his father and was watching all of his work being gone up in flames. But in childlike voice, that Mr. Edison, Thomas, said, "Son, go get your mama and all of her friends. They ain't never seen a fire like this one and never will again." 24-year-old son began to protest to his dad. But dad looked at him and he said, "Son, it's all right. We're just getting rid of a bunch of rubbish." 1 Peter 1:7, Peter writes, he said, "That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." You say, "I'm going through something. I've been through something. May go through it tomorrow." But you know what God is doing? He's just burning up a bunch of rubbish. "I've never lost anything God did not want me to lose. I've never had anything happen to me God didn't do it to my better. Because the Lord knows how to take care of his own. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." That's what the book says. We just got rid of a bunch of rubbish. Later at the scene of the blaze, Edison was quoted in the New York Times as saying, "Although I am over 67 years old, I'll start tomorrow," he told the reporter. He began rebuilding the next morning without firing one employee. Why? Because that man had the power of words. He knew how powerful words could be. He could have stood there and said, "Man, I've lost everything I've got. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I may lose everything I've got. But if I've got the Lord, I've got what I need." Oh, come on, let's stand and praise the Lord, would you? Praise the name of the Lord. Brother Jerry, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, not trying to embarrass you, but I remember the big revival I had years ago, and you come in and there's a bunch of people come in. You know why they're gone? Because they let their self get in the way. You know why you're here? Because you made up your mind. Nothing's going to stop me. Nothing's going to stop me. Why am I here tonight? Because I had to make up my mind a long time ago. I've been called a quitter all of my life. I've been called a loser all of my life. I'm not a loser when I have the anointing of God on my life. Come on, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You have to wonder. I'm thinking, shut up. But you have to wonder what history would have been like if Thomas's mother had been very negative. Because see, he's not only the one who helped us get the light bulb. He invented many, many things. And an inventor always looks at the possibility of making something out of nothing. I'm here to tell you that God wants his people to look at circumstances and say, "It looks bad." But when we get through with it, when we get through with it, I'm going to tell you, my mind's made up, brother. Brother, my mind's made up. I'm not going to let the devil tell. I've come too far now to get discouraged and back out. I've come too far now to talk how bad it is. My words are powerful, and I'll say, I lift up mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. I tell you what, let's just gather around the front and praise him a little bit, would you? I'm not going to hold you much longer. Let's come praising him. You remember how you praised him when you first got the Holy Ghost? A smoking flint he'll not quench. A bruised reed he'll not break. Blow on it a little bit. Has it when the embers went down, the embers, just blow on it a little bit. It'll flame back up. Come on, that's it. Praise the Lord.